three tape recorders. Good morning, everybody. Now, I want to tell you that today's shiur is a shiur that I've wanted to say for a long, long time. It also covers a tremendous amount of ground, and chances that I will be able to fully cover the subject today are nil. Which, of course, may mean that we'll have to have a second shiur sometime in the near future, to deal with it. It's a shiur that could really have been said on nearly any parasha in Sefer Bereshit, and you'll see that in many parashot in Torah this shiur could have been given. I'm going to keep you in suspense as to what the topic of the shiur is, and I think that most of you will find it certainly very interesting. I hope you do anyway. Parshas Toldos. Ve'elah Toldos Yitzhak ben Avram. Avram halitit Yitzhak. These are the generations of Yitzhak, the son of Avram. Avram gave birth to Yitzhak. Yitzhak was 40 years old when he married Rivka. She was from Padan Aram, the sister of Lavan. Yitzhak prayed that she should become pregnant. She becomes pregnant. It's a difficult pregnancy. She goes to ask of God, What's happening within me? And God tells her that there are two nations that are being born within you and they are struggling. And then she gives birth. And there are twins. Pasuk Chof Hei. Vayetze Harishon Admoni, the first one came out, all red. Kulo Ka'adedet Se'ar. He was like a cloak of hair. Very hairy. Vayikru Shemo, and they called him Esav. Esav coming from the word Osui. He's made. He's done. He's finished. And afterward his brother came out. And his hand is holding on to the heel of Esav. Vayikro Shemo Yaakov, and he called his name Yaakov. Now, when Esav is called his name, it says they called him, plural. Most probably because they were so astonished, and it was so clear that he's made. He's made, so they called him Esav. Here, it's one person, I would imagine, that it was his... it has to be... Who could it be? It can only be the Yitzchak or Rivka, but it's masculine. So therefore, it must be that Yitzchak gave him the name, Yitzchak Shmo Yaakov. Yitzchak ben Shishim Shona Beledot Otam, and Yitzchak was 60 years old when he gave birth to them. By Yigdalu Hanodim, they grew up by Yisov Isho Deyat Sayyid Ishodeh. Esav was a man who knew how to hunt. He was a man of the field. Yaakov Ishtam, and Yaakov was a Ishtam. Of course, it means that he was a complete and a full human being. Yoshevo Alim, sitting in the tents, and Rashi says that he sat in the tents of Shem and Eva. Vayehav Yitzchak as Esav. Yitzchak loved Esav. Kitzayid Befiv, and here there's a famous Rashi, Kitzayid Befiv, because he ensnares him and traps him with his mouth. Esav was a smooth talker. He was able to leave the impression as though he's a great tzaddik who's extremely concerned about doing the right thing in halacha. How do you take meiser, two men meiser from salt? The Rivka hevet at Yaakov, and Rivka loves Yaakov. There's so much to say in these psukim, but I'm focusing in on one thing, and you'll see right away. By Yosef Yaakov Nazid, Yaakov cooked a cooking. He's cooking something. Vayavo Esav min hasadeh, and Esav came from the field, v'hu ayef, and he's exhausted. Vayomer Esav el Yaakov, Esav said to Yaakov, haliteni na min ha'adom ha'adom, I said, give me that red stuff. Haliteni means really, shovel it into me. Pour it into me. Give me that red stuff. Ki ayef anochi, because I'm exhausted. Al kein koro shemo Edom. Therefore he called his name Edom. Al Kain Kara Shemo Edom. Here begins the focus. He called his name Edom. Who called him Edom? What do you think? He walked out into the street afterwards and he says, you know, I want to tell you a story. I came into the house exhausted and my brother was cooking this red stuff. And I told him, shovel in this red stuff to me. Call me Red. Who called him Red? Who called him Edom? I don't know. You want to say the Rebbein Shem did, but the Rebbein Shem is not a subject in this pasuk at all. He appears no place. Who called him Adam? Called him Adam. 25 years ago, I said a pshat in this Al Kain Korosh and Ol Adam. And then just a few days ago, I saw it in the, from Rav Nevensov, the old city, that he lets his imagination go, but I have to disagree with him because he had to let his imagination go much, much further than it did. He wants to say, Al Kain Korosh and Ol Adam. Rashi tells us that it was the day of the funeral of Avraham Avinu. And Yaakov is cooking lentils because this is the kind of food that they would give to Avelim, those who are mourners. Something Rashi explains that's round, because Avelut is something that keeps rolling throughout the world, and the Avel has no peh. In other words, it's a complete round thing. There's no opening, because the Avel really doesn't speak unless he wants to speak. He doesn't speak. And Evansal says, listen, he comes into the house. He was judged by the Levaya. Don't you know what Yaakov is cooking? Of course you know what Yaakov is cooking. So why you called it Adam? What do you call it, this red stuff? You know what it all is. And you know that people, what's made for the Avelim eats certainly the hard egg, which we use today in place of the lentils. So therefore, he gave himself a name, Adam. Now, 25 years ago, I said a different shot over it. And now, as I read the Pesukim, I have to disagree with Rav Nevensow. And you'll see why. I'll explain why. Rashi brings it, the Gemara says that on that day, Esav committed a whole series of terrible aveiros. Idolatry, adultery, murder. This was the day on which he broke out of all the shadows, all that binds him. He shattered everything. Rashi even says that Avraham Avinu died 5 years before his time so that he should not have to see this Esav becoming the great Rasha Esav. Yitzhak is going to die at age 180. Avram dies at 175, so you shouldn't see what's going to happen. That's too much Admat Nefesh. God had told him, you're going to die the Sefer Tova, a good old age. So I let my imagination go. It's the day of the Levaya of Avram Avinu. The Medrash says, Kol Kavarni Te Olam, the captains, the officers of the whole world came to this funeral. I imagine the funeral as it begins to leave the tent of Avram on the way through the streets of Chevron to the Ma'orat HaMachpelah. And you have, I don't know, the kings of Shinar, of Tzoar, of Aram, the whole world, everybody is there. They've come to pay their last respects to the man whom they call the Prince of God, the Seal of Kimata B'Tokhenu. Oilanu, the Medrash says that they say, woe unto us that we are a ship that has lost its captain. Now, I imagine as the funeral cortege is making its way through the streets of Hebron, the king of Shinar speaks to the king of Tzoar and says, that woman over there behind the casket, who's that? Oh, don't you know? That's Rivka. Rivka, that's his daughter-in-law. And next to her is Yitzchak. Yitzchak is the Ben Yachin, the son. The son. Behind them is Yishmael. And who's that young fellow there? Oh, that's Yaakov. That's Yaakov, that's an Einikol. Wait a minute. Didn't they have twins? Didn't Yitzchak and Rivka have twins? Where's the other one? I don't know where he is. Oh, you know what? He most probably went ahead to the cemetery in order to get everything ready in the Moros HaMachpelah. And they're going through and they continue. They arrive at the Moros HaMachpelah and the king of Shinar says, wait a minute. I don't see the other the other twin. I see one twin and not the other one. I don't know. Searching. I don't have a clue what happened to him. But Yitzchak is here, and Rivka is here, Yishmael, and Yaakov. But we'll see. No, we'll come home from the cemetery after the funeral. They go back to the tent of Yitzchak. And I'm only shy. They see standing on the, sitting on their horses and their camels, surrounding the tent of Yitzchak. Kol Gedolei Olam. And then all of a sudden, a thunder of hoofs. A mad rider is coming from the hills. You can hear him coming closer and closer. You can see the earth, the sand that's coming up as a result of his course, and he comes riding in. Hey, that's Esau. Does he go over to his father and say, "Pa, I heard that Zaidi died today. I'm sorry, you know. Amakim Yenachem Otcha B'Tok, Shara B'Ilei Hebron," etc. Doesn't go over to anybody. And here's the world. The world is present there, and they're watching an unfolding human tragedy. They can't believe their eyes. This wild man is coming in from the field by the Levaya Zenishkiven. He wasn't at the Levaya. He comes in, he doesn't even walk over to his father and say, "Pa, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry to hear, you know. This good fellow, this good guy, Zaidi." Not a word. All that they hear coming from the tent is, "That's all that red stuff, pour it into my mouth." Al Kein Koro Shemo Edom. You know who called him Edom? He called himself Edom. By virtue of this tragic conduct, he has created a terrible name for himself in the eyes of the world. The world is stunned, shaken by the terrible, terrible conduct of Esau. Al Kein Koro Shemo Edom. He called his own name Edom. Nothing more had to be done. Why don't I agree with Rav Nevinsal? Because it says, according to Rav Nevinsal, his imagination still has Esav at the Levaya. But that's not what it says. Vayozid Yaakov nozid vayovo Esav min ha-sodeh v'hu oyev. Esav came from the field and he's exhausted. He was not at the funeral. Now, of course, in this context, you're going to understand, in order to save the honor of a family that he has now trampled upon, Yaakov says, "Michro chayon, sell me your birthright. It's a bezoyin for the whole world. You're a firstborn and you didn't come to Zaidi's funeral. You didn't come there to be with Tati while he was at the funeral. You don't want to be part of the family, so let the world know you don't want to be part of the family. Sell me your birthright." Yaakov is not simply using the moment of weakness of Esau. Here has been a terrible blow to a whole family. So all right, let the world know that you don't want the birthright, you don't want to be part of this family. Okay, listen, you're a free agent, you can do whatever you want. But you don't have to stain and soil and taint this family. When you see it within this context, we're not talking about a Yaakov Avinu who's robbing him of his birthright, and he's using the terrible weakness of poor Esav. And you know, I pointed out in the past, you know, we get the impression as though Yaakov is standing there. Take a whiff of this, Esav. You want to have something? And then that way, you can't have it until you sell me over. Wait a minute. No. Not good enough. You have to sign on the dotted line. There are 5 copies, you understand? Now, wait a minute. Do you have your chotemet, Esav? You know that in this country, without a chotemet, nothing goes. Yaakov, I'm dying from hunger. Dying. It doesn't make any difference. Chotemet and signature. Wait a minute. Do we have a stapler so we can staple the copies together? And then here, take a whiff of this. Chas v'sholom. That never happened. And the proof is clear in the last pasuk. You always have to be sensitive to such nuances in Torah. They're amazing. The Yaakov Natan le'Esav Lechem unizid adashim. Why doesn't it say Vayitain Yaakov and Yaakov gave? Do you know what the meaning of the Yaakov Natan, where the verb comes second? Yaakov had given. Yaakov had given. If the pasuk would have meant that after he signed on the dotted line, and after he put his chotemet on all four copies, and it was notarized, only then did he give him to eat, it would have said Vayitain Yaakov. The Yaakov Natan means, and Yaakov had given. The moment Esav said, I'm going to die, give me to eat, he gave him immediately to eat. And not only did he give him the Zid Adashim, he gave him Lechem. So the whole parsha takes on a completely different complexion. What do I want to get to? I'll tell you what I want to get to. You wanted to hear something?
Yes, then I wonder why that sentence is last.
Oh, once you know once you know the Yaakov Natan, it makes no difference anymore. Your only problem was you didn't know the meaning of the Yaakov Natan, but the moment you know that, then there's no problem. You can write it at the end as well. Doesn't make any difference. And Yaakov had given. That's all. That's what it means. And there are many psukkim. But we're not going to go into that. The topic for today is the following. Names. In every parashah in Bereishis, people are given names. Yaakov and Esav are given names over here. Names that are given by everybody. Name that is given by a parent. A name that a person gives himself. Everything is names. You start from Adam to Chava to Shay to Cain to Hevel. All of Sefer Bereishis is names. You're going to come to next week's Seder. We're going to have the 12 Shvatim are born. 11 out of the 12 are born in Parshat Vayetze. And we have the reason why each name was given. So what I want to deal with is, how do we give names? Are there any rules to giving names? Are there any rules to giving names? By the way, this is most probably a shiur that should be given to young couples. Is there a way to give names? Is there preference? Are there any sources in Torah that tell us what's in a name? All the questions that come up. I mean, I can't even begin to deal with all of the questions. Wait, where did I have it? I haven't even taken my notes out yet. Here I was innocently reading the Haaretz last week, as I usually do. And I came across a very fascinating, oh, here it is. I put it into my notes. What are the names most commonly given to children in this country? All right, okay, now. I know it's going through your mind. Nimrod, Omri, Yishmael, Hagar, go ahead. Anybody else have, what are the most common names? All right. Huh? So you also read the Haaretz.
It was on the news.
I don't listen to the news, I read the paper. So it turns out that Noah is the name for girls. Noah. Who was Noah? Nun Vav Ayin Hey? One of the daughters of Tzlachot. Noah. And for boys, it was Daniel. And for me, it was very significant because our grandson, Daniel, got bar mitzvah this past Mitzvah Shabbos, so, you know, if there would have been time to speak, I would have spoken about the significance of the name Daniel. You want to know the rest of the names?
No.
Yeah, I think it's important. After Noah, girls' names are Shira, Maya, Adi, and Yael. And amongst boys, Daniel, Itai, David, Noam, and Edo. No, Edo. Edo was a Navi. Edo was a Navi. Which is fascinating, because I tell you, there is a proliferation of names that are ugly and have never been given in history to Jewish children. They call a child Nimrod, you know, and then a family Nimrodi. It's unbelievable. And then I was at a bris where the father gave a name Omri, and the brother was ready to mamish to collapse on the spot. So I made her feel a little better. The Gemara says Omri was the father of Ahav. By the way, I'm surprised that I haven't seen Izebel here amongst the girls' names. So I wanted to make her feel good, so I said, listen, the Gemara says about Omri, who was the father of Ahav, and a Rasha, you understand. A Rasha to the very core. The Gemara asks, Mithnei Mav Zocha Omri Lamalkus, why was Omri Zocha to become a king in Israel? Mithnei Shev Bona, he built a city in Eretz Israel, the city of Shomron. In other words, you can be a Rosh and a Rosh, but if you build Eretz Yisrael, you have a certain source. How do you like that? You can be a secular Zionist. Remember, that's only for those who build cities, not those who give them away. All right? Now I got my politics in for the morning. Now we're home free. We're home free. Omri. How do you give names? There are a lot of questions. What about new names? New names. I'm going to leave you guessing until we get to that. There's a business with new names. You go to a bris and you don't know what's going to come out of the mouth of the father. I don't know. I don't know. Bat El Geula, Tziona Shomrona. I don't know. Chevrona Ma'ara. They come up with all sorts of great stuff. I can't even make up the great names that they come up with. Are there rules? Are there rules? And what's in the name? And I think when we are at least partway finished as a result of this year, that what's necessary really is counseling. Pre-naming counseling. There's premarital counseling, there's marriage counseling, there's all sorts of counseling, there's name counseling. Names have been significant through, certainly up until this point, and it's going to become even more intense when we get into next week's Seder. Even nicknames or added names that are given take on great significance. Avram HaIvri in Parashat Lech Lecha, when Og flees from battle and he comes to Avram, and he tells him your mishpacha Lot has been captured. He's called Avram HaIvri. What Chazal do with the word HaIvri? What does it mean? Why is he called HaIvri? Those who say that he came from the other side of the river, crossed from Mesopotamia into Eretz Canaan, Eved, the other side of the year. He spoke the language of Eved, which was Hebrew. He spoke Hebrew. And then, of course, there's the great statement of our rabbis, Kol Ha'olam Kulo, the whole world is made Eved Echad. Vahu may Eved Hashemi, and he is on the other side. True, up until this very day. There's the whole world on one side, and there's us on the other side. It's amazing. It's unbelievable. That shot in the name of Avram HaEvri is something that's alive and pulsating Ad HaYom HaZeh. And I'm afraid to say that anybody who's going to try and get us over to the other side is going to have to sacrifice a great deal of Yiddishkeit in order to accomplish it. I'm sorry, I'm Levadat Yishkon, we are a people who dwells alone, that's it. Bilam understood it and we have to understand it. We're not going to be accepted into the family of nations, and since people can, in these circumstances, you can choose your family, I don't know if I would want to be a part of the family of nations. It's not such great company over there. All right. Where's our sheet? Let's take a number of midrashim. Number two. There are two midrashim on this page that are extremely significant in the whole question of giving names. Medrash, beginning. Yeter to Agadol Ule Eze Yulat Shnei Bonim Shem Ha'echad Pelek to the Yom of Nitzvah Gaharetz. All right. Ezer had two children. One of them was Peleg, because in his days the world was divided into different families in different countries. Now, well, here comes what we need. Rav Yossi v'Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Yossi Omer, Harishonim al Yidei Shehoyu Makidim et Yichuseihem. The first generations, because they knew where they came from, Hoyu Motziin Shmon L'Shem Hama'oda. They would give a name according to an event in history, either an event that had happened or an event that Beruach HaKodesh they knew would happen. And I'll explain this right away. But we, she'enanu makidim et yichuseinu, we don't know our lineage. Anu motziin l'shem avoteinu, we give names according to our fathers. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says, when we shown him the earlier generations, they showed you mishtamshin beruach hakodesh because they were able to use the Holy Spirit. They were able to give a name according to an event that will happen. We don't have any Holy Spirit. We give a name according to our fathers. And then Rabbi Yosef ben Chalafta says, Novi Godol Hoyaeva Eva was a great prophet. Jehotzi Mishem Hamaoda. He gave a name according to what was going to happen. And it turns out that in the last year of his son Peleg's life, the whole story of the Tower of Babel took place, in which the world was divided out into different nations. Hadol Diksiv, that's why it says, Ule'eva Yulat Shneipani. To understand this matter, you have to understand the following. In the generations from Adam until Noah and Noah to Abraham, there may have been a problem. There may have been a problem giving a name after a Zayda, because the Zayda still had about another 700 years to go. You didn't come to a bris and a Zayda or an elder Zayda had already passed on from the scene. They, for all intents and purposes, there were 7, 8, 9 generations that all saw one another and were living at the same time. Furthermore, because they lived that long, in other words, you can ask me, what was the name of my great-great-great-grandfather? I don't have a clue. I can take off another great or two, and I still won't be able to tell you what the name of the grandfather was. But Mahalalel, or Metushelach, was able to tell you the whole lineage, because they were all alive. He knew them all personally. Adam, Shes, Enosh, Canaan, Mahalalel, Yodet, Chanoch. He knew them all. So therefore, they didn't give names according to the Zayda who had passed away. But Anu, we're the later generations that we don't know our Yichus. We don't know those who came before. So how do we keep them alive? How do we know where we come from? You know how we do it? Because you give a name after an elder Zayda. The little great-grandchild or the great-great-grandchild is carrying the name of the previous Zayda. That's the way it works. The Medrash is really establishing a principle, and the principle is very clear halachically. The first choice for a name, always the first choice for a name, is a grandparent, if a grandparent has passed from the world, or a great-grandparent. That's number one. All the fancy names, you know when fancy names? You have an Ezer for fancy names. In other words, you have already 8, 9, 10 kids and you have exhausted yourself and all of the names in the family. So then, we gave after this Zayda and that Elder Zayda, the next Elder Zayda, the pressure isn't to stroll around. So we come up with a new name. By the way, one of the Achronim says, with regard to the question of new names, he says, no, he's opposed to new names. Why? Because the Medrash over here says, we give names l'shem avoteinu. We give them according to the fathers. Which would rule out giving new names. There are many other achronim, and let me tell you the truth, there are many achronim who say there's nothing wrong with giving a new name, provided that one has already given names for Buddhas and Zaydas. And there's something that's forgotten, it's forgotten, and I found it, Rabbi Yamin Zilber, one of the big poskim of our days, Yamin Zilber says the following. He has a sefer called Oz Nidvaru, a whole bunch of volumes. He says, even though the Achronim tell us that you should give a child a name after a tzaddik or a rebbe, who taught you Torah, or somebody who is a godel hador, that's what you should give a name to. And by the way, that's very, very common practice. The only thing is, it's common practice to the point of not merely absurdity, but to the point of sin. And I'll tell you right away. Mikamakum, however, says, because you want a name after a Rebbe or a Gadol b'Yisrael, that never gives you the right to set aside naming a child after a Bubba or a Zayda. And he says, Kolshkin, certainly my hodim v'atzman v'akshimi aben l'ten al-shem, certainly if the parents, and I don't know which parents would do that, when they ask the children, listen, give the name after Zaydi, you understand? It's most probably the Shiva or the Shloshim of Zaydi, and then they come to the bris, and everybody's expecting that the father is going to give a name after Zaydi, and a name comes out of left field. It's unbelievable. I've seen it happen. It's unbelievable. Out of left field, like everybody was sure, but you know, young people are not necessarily smart. And sometimes they have to be made smart. They have to be made smart. Huh?
Yeah.
By the way, when I read this and I saw that he says, even if parents ask, I can't imagine the parent who's going to go over and ask of a child to name after a Bubba or a Zeta. We're afraid of our children. We're terrified of them. They may not like us. I'm not. Harvey, am I afraid of my children? Huh? They're afraid of me. Good, okay. That's a great answer. We're not, it's unbelievable. And then, and here I had an instance that a father was in the year after his father had passed away. And the son gave a name after a godly soul. I think he named it after the stifler Yaakov Yisrael or something like that. And the father was horrified. He was horrified. And the son said, what are you talking about? A godly Yisrael? What he doesn't realize is the following. To give a name after a Bubba or a Zayda is not only according to the medrash the correct thing to do. There's a mitzvah kibud av ha'eim that you fulfill with that. And worse, in the event that you're not going to give a name that will be acceptable to father and mother, you have shattered kibud av ha'eim. You've been mitzayered parents. And I'm just afraid to give examples that I know of, you know, because you may, who knows where this tape is going to come and somebody is going to recognize themselves over here. I know of a case where a young man named his son Guy. Guy, Gimel Yud Aleph. And it was in the year that a Zayda, a lovely, lovely Jew, had passed away. And then he gets up and he explains Zaydi was a great guy. That Bubba, you can understand, you could have taken that Bubba and carried around. It was unbelievable. Giving a name is very serious business. And it's extremely, extremely important to tell young couples if you have any shaila about a name, if you have any doubts, and even if you have no doubts, discuss it with somebody outside of the family. But wait a minute, somebody who has a little bit common sense, a little safer. Because otherwise, so here we see, number one, the difference why There were very few names repeated during the first generations, even though some were. Now, of course, you also have to know, living in Eretz Yisrael, you become aware of the fact that there's a difference between Sfaradim and Ashkenazim. I'm not going to go into now into the question of what happens if it's a mixed couple, Sfaradim and Ashkenazim, yeah, because over there, you come into the problem that Sfaradim name after a living Zayde. In other words, I always used to think that, you know, John J. Rockefeller III, you know, what a goyish thing. What a terrible mistake. He can have the same name going down generation after generation by Sfaradi families, and they look at it as a covet to have a child, a grandchild named after them. That's a completely different story. Yes? A second name. I have my own feelings about a second name. My feelings about a second name are the following. Where it becomes really necessary to give a second name. In other words, there are problems in the family, and if you're not going to name after A and B, you're going to be in serious trouble. Then you give a second name. You name after a Zayda, you name after a Zayda. If, for example, the Zayda's name was Yehuda, you give a name Yehuda. Understand? Finish. If the Zayda was Binyamin, you give a name Binyamin. You don't make it Binyamin Chaim, Binyamin Shmerel, Binyamin Bevel, or all the rest. And some of my children followed, you know, there are a few, Yehuda Golds. That was my father, Yehuda Golds. He wasn't Yehuda Bevel. He wasn't Yehuda Leib. Yes? My. And what happens if you don't like your Zayda? You don't like your Zayda. You don't like the names. I'll tell you. I'll be with you in a moment. Very good question. You know me? You're asking all the right questions. All of you are asking the right questions. With regard to you don't like the name.
Right.
So you have to understand the Chazon Ish said it and many other Akronim. You can't give a child a name that the child is going to be embarrassed with the name when he or she grows up. There were names that were given in Europe that you just can't send, Yentl. I mean, I'm afraid to name, you know, Matla. Can you imagine giving the girl a name Matla? Would you like to give a name like that to one of your kids? Well, I did. She's there. But she's Chava. That's the answer to your question. This question was asked. You know, we already, the Zayda has already, five names have been given for the Zayda. No, each child who's going to have a boy has the same obligation of kibud av, so there'll be another name of the same Zayda. Oh, I'll tell you. Proofs. I don't need any proof for this because over here it's simply a matter of kibud av. And it's also this medrash. The medrash that says that we give names according to our fathers. According to our fathers. It makes no difference because somebody else fulfilled the mitzvah doesn't mean that I'm installed for the mitzvah. So wait, let's get it. The Chazon Ish, for example, says, and many others will say, here you have the right to take, for example, the Yiddish name and find its closest equivalent in Hebrew and give that name to the child. You don't have the right to give a child a name. I mean, times do change. There are names that were given in the time of Tanakh that a child can't go to school with that name. And we can see a medrash about that right away. But everybody has the same responsibility. There was a Zayda, so everybody has a responsibility to give a name for the Zayda. Yes.
Nowadays, Zaydas live longer, and you don't have a Zayda to name it.
So you have an elder Zayda. So you know what? It's kibud Zayda if you give somebody a name after the Zayda's father. And Adam, remember, the Medi said, we don't know Yichusenu. So the further you can extend or stretch the yichus that we know names that were in the family. Right. Watch. Rabbi Yamin Zilber says about somebody who gave a name for a god of the Yisrael and didn't give it after a Zayda. So he says, Kol shkein ma'hodim ba'atzman levakshim me'aben li'tein al-shem ma'hodim shalehem. Certainly if the parents ask that the child should give a name after one of their parents, shalo li'yot chosid sheiti, you shouldn't be a stupid chosid and refuse. Why? Because this is directly related to the mitzvah d'yohaita, the mitzvah in our Torah of kibud aviv v'imo. And you know what? More than that. The fact that you're going to fulfill the mitzvah of kibud av v'im with the name that you give to this child is a great schooling of the child to turn out well. And then as he's talking about this, he says, this is time to mention something else. And, you know, I don't know yet if I'm going to have the guts to talk about it in Shul this Shabbos, but I've been working up now for about 10 years. You go to a bris, a first grandchild, and the kid gives his Rebbe to be Sandik. Unbelievably, I've seen it. I go out of my mind. And this Rebbe, most probably, today he's his Rebbe, and tomorrow he's going to go to another yeshiva and have another Rebbe. And here's a Zayda who's pushing and waiting for a first grandchild. How do you take that away from a Zayda? By the way, here, I'm afraid to say that I blame the Rosh Yeshiva as well. You know what that Rosh Yeshiva should have done? Said, give son the coins, give it to your father. What are you talking about? Me? By the way, I hold that that's true also with regard to kibudim under the chuppah. You don't need a rav. You don't need a rav. You don't need a god of Israel. I'm Michael the reading of the ksuba. I'm Michael all of the brachas. If there's a zayda or an uncle, members of the family, this may be their one moment that, you know, they finally get up and are able to participate in such a meaningful way in the simcha. Give it to them. Oh, we go collecting my elementary school Rebbe, my high school Rebbe, my Kill Rebbe, Rebbe Shmebbe, and there's no place for anybody else. And the Rebbe's don't have, start the sentence all over again. They should educate children, by the way. This is education to keep with our friends. That's what it is. This is education to keep with our friends. You can't deny such a people from a father. You can't do it. Boy, you have no idea how much I'm getting out of my system. You have no idea. Yes? Oh, no, I am talking to the right age group, because I think that grandparents have to become assertive.
It doesn't help always.
It doesn't always help, so you may need advice. You may need advice how to go about it. I mean, maybe... name him after Zayden and get a new car, a van. Rivalry always helps. Yeah. The aunt who doesn't have children doesn't come before a father or mother. There's an order. The order is first, if there's a bubba or a Zayda or an elder bubba, that's first. That's first. You want to name after somebody in the family who passed away that had no children? Fine. But only after you've taken care of Buddhas and Vedas. That comes first. Yes? I'm here. Where the Medrash is? Oh, the Medrash. It's gracious, Rabbi. I should have read. You know what? Take the sheet home. No, don't take the sheet home. I may need it. You always do. You know what? I'll give you an easy way. There's a sefer by the name of Kodei Shemo that was put out by a fellow who learns in Yeshivat Shavei Chevron. He brought together all of the sources and made it easy for me. He brought together all the sources. That's all. Huh? I don't even know what his name is.
Mishael Reuben. I wonder if his Zeta's name was Mishael.
Because they give the names of their babies or whoever, and then they change it so that it's more modern.
So it depends. It depends. The only time you can do that is if the name would just not sound well, you know, in kindergarten. You know, kindergarten. Yentl, come here, Yentl. You can't do that with a child. Yes. Yes. Yes and yes and no. The question is, what did they put first? And why did they put first what they put first? Is it because they really don't like your mother's name? And maybe they didn't even like your mother. So therefore, what they did is, they wanted to swallow it up, because the fact is, afterwards, they're not going to call the child by that name. They're going to call the child by
their first name.
I mean, when I hear my kids calling their children Yehuda or Binyamin, you understand? I know that my father and my wife, my father-in-law, are alive. We have now for my mother-in-law, Salah. There are Salah all over the family. There's something living about it. Chavi. So we're not up to Chavis because it was my generation. My mother died young. So my three brothers, we all have Chavis, and some of them even went ahead and married Chavis. So they brought new Chavis into the family. By the way, there's an amazing Maharit. There's an amazing Maharit. And I know that I'm not covering everything, but I want to end with one note. There is a sheet in the Rishonim that you don't give anybody a name. You don't give anybody a name from before Avraham Avinu. So the question is, Chavi, and Noah. There aren't any Methuselahs around, you understand? So you have to understand, you have to realize that there are a number of other things that can be taken into consideration. Many Svarim write that to take a name from Parashat HaShavua. Parashat HaShavua has a certain impact and power. Assuming, of course, that a Zayda has been taken care of. Or if you want to add as a second name something that's related to the Parashat. Or a child who's born, or if it's a boy, the bris, is on Purim, you should add Mordechai. If it's on Tisha B'Av, you should add Menachem, or Nachman, or Nachman. If it's Sukkot, they say a girl should be named Hadassah. But that's of course, either as a second name, but never to take the place of it. But I want to tell you a chiddush, a great chiddush that occurred to me as I was learning. It's amazing how one thing impacts on the other. I found one Rishon and one Achron, and most probably there are others, who asked, how did Moshe Rabbeinu call one of his sons? Now, some, those of you who were at the Pasha Shiel last week, I'm probably going to jump out of your skin. The Mabit asked it, and the Chidor. The Mabit was one of the Gedolei Tzfat, and the Chidor was, of course, one of the great Sephardim Gaonim of all time. They asked, how did Moshe Rabbeinu call his son Eliezer when Eliezer was a curse? He was from the family of Chon. I will recall for you quickly what we learned last week, and I took a look at this question, and I couldn't for the life of me imagine how these Rishonim asked this question. We learned last week an amazing piece from Rav Kook. We talked about two Rashi that are side by side in Parashat Chayisara. One Rashi says that Avraham was aware of the fact that Eliezer has a daughter and he would like his daughter to marry Yitzchak. So Avraham tells him, "Gnei Baruch, my son is blessed, and you are Oruv, you are a curse. Ve'ein Oruv midabek b'Baruch, and an Oruv can't join with a Baruch." So we asked on that Rashi, God Almighty, how does Avraham say something like that to Eliezer? Eliezer, who is his most faithful servant, how do you do that? Second, The next Rashi immediately says, brings the famous man of Chazal, Omer Abchamer. Abchamer said, Yofas v'chosom shall have the others. The simple words that came out of the mouth of the servants, of the fathers, of the patriarchs, is greater than the Torah of the children. Because the whole story of Eliezer and everything that Eliezer says is enshrined in Torah for all time. So in one Rashi we told he's a cursor. And then the next Rashi we told his words are Torah. So I told you that if there's coincidence, but of course there's no such thing as coincidence, I found something that was written by Rav Kook, that Rav Kook said, yes, he was Oru because his background was Chaim. He came from Chaim. And as long as he came from Chaim, then all he was capable of doing was being Dole Umashke, he was a transmitter of Torah, but he was never creative in Torah. But the moment that he comes to the house of Lavan and they say to him, Bo, Beruch, Hashem, come, blessed one of God, his status changes dramatically forever. He's now blessed, and any word that issues from his mouth becomes Torah for all time. So I said, of course Moshe Rabbeinu was able to call his son Eliezer, because Eliezer at the end, not only is he the faithful servant of Moshe of Avraham Avinu, Eliezer becomes a blessed one. So I can understand what are the Mabit and the Chidot saying. And then furthermore, I said another thing. Two other answers. That's why it says in Torah, Eliezer called, Moshe called his son Eliezer because he said, Elokei Avi Be'ezri, God help me. So he's saying why he named him. He's not naming him after any other Eliezer. Now, Eliezer Eved Avraham, the Hebrew language doesn't belong to him. God can help me, and I say, Elokei Avi Be'ezri, my God, the father of my God, help me, and that's what I'm going to give the name. He gave it for his own specific reason. He's not naming it him after anybody else. So, and then finally, in the Chidah, I found something similar to one of the ideas I expressed. Not the idea that he became a Baruch afterwards. So, right. Well, let me at least, I'm going to run through one more Medrash, number 4. Vatar Leah the Pelet Ben. Leah became pregnant, she gave birth to a son. Amar Rav Yosef Rav Hanina, Arba Midos Nemru Bashemos. Rav Yosef Rav Hanina says there are 4 different categories with regard to names. Yesh Shmoteim Noyim, Umaaseim Nam. There are people who have beautiful names and their deeds are beautiful. Yesh Shmoteim Ku'udim. There are people who have names that are ugly. Umaaseim Ku'udim. And their deeds are ugly. They're ugly and their names are ugly. Yesh Shmoteim Ku'udim. There are those whose names are ugly, but umaseim noyim, their deeds are beautiful. Yesh, and then there are those sheshmoteim noyim that have beautiful names, umaseim ku'udim, but their deeds are ugly. And now the Medrash explains. Shmoteim noyim, umaseim ku'udim. Look at an example. The name is beautiful, but the deeds are ugly. Esav. Shmo Esav, there ain't no Oseh. Esav really means the one who does, performs mitzvahs, but the Eino Oseh. The fact is, Esav is a beautiful name. It became not beautiful because of the relationship to Esav, but Esav is a beautiful man. But he didn't do. Yishmael, Shmo, Shomea, the Eino Shomea. Yishmael is talking about one who hears, but he doesn't hear. The name is a beautiful name. Kishoma Hashem, God heard the voice of Yishmael. By the way, that's a separate topic in and of itself. One of the great Tanoim of all time was Yishmael, Kohen Gadol. The first of the 10 martyrs is Yishmael. And what's that song that they sing, you know? Parmachas Nichnasti. The Gemara in Brachos, Rabbi Yishmael says one day he went in on Yom Kippur into Kodesh Kedoshim and he saw Katfiel, and God. All the kids sing this song. It's a long, beautiful song.
Tanya,
Rabbi Yishmael, long not crying. Rabbi Yishmael, would you give a name to your child, Yishmael? I'll tell you, I'm going to now admit a problem that I had. The
I have two problems. I think my name... I think my name is Avraham Shalom. So first of all, there is a great deal that's written in the literature about the name Shalom, because it's not the name of anybody in Tanakh, and it happens to be one of the names of God. There's another problem. As a little boy, I remember somebody used to call me Av Shalom. I was a little boy, but Av Shalom didn't sound too kosher to me. The Gemara says you don't give names according to the names of the Shoyim. Av Shalom was a Rasha. There's even a Gemara in Ksubis that says that there was a Dayan, a judge in Yerushalayim, and there are two texts in the Gemara. One text says Av Shalom, and the other has a Yud between the Av and the Shalom, Avi Shalom. And Taisus over there in Ksubis says you have to have the Yud there. Nobody would have given a son the name Av Shalom. Huh? This is what?
This is the Korah.
Av Shalom is mother.
Oh, Av Shalom. Oh, you know, let him put it on let him put it on radio. Let's hear Av Shalom Korah. My father's a Talmud Chacham. I'm sure that my father didn't give me a name Av Shalom. And I remember, Mommy, I was 5 years old, 6 years old, and I know it can't be, it can't be. And that's why I made sure my name is Avraham Shalom, Avraham Shalom, Avraham. I said it so many times that, so I had a problem. And this poor guy, you know, it always happens to somebody, you know, you hear half the name, and you heard Avraham Shalom, and you didn't hear the Raham, you understand, so, okay. By the way, there's a great deal also to be said about changing names. Avram to Avram, Sarah to Sarah. That's all right. We're only whetting your appetite for a shear that will come at some later date. Let's go to finish the medrash. Shmotam ke'udim d'ravot. This is beautiful. Oh, is this beautiful? Shmotam ke'udim. There are people whose names are ugly, umasei and noin, and their deeds are good. You know who they were? Elu b'nei ha'gola. B'nai HaGola is the term that's given to those who came up with Ezra and Nehemiah from the Gola to build the second commonwealth. And they have the names mentioned. B'nai Bakbuk, B'nai Chakupa, B'nai Chircho. Can you imagine giving your kid a name Bakbuk? You give the kid a Bakbuk, but you don't call him Bakbuk. And there's a whole list of terribly ugly names. And these ugly names are the ones who built the second Beit HaMikdash. So while their names are ugly, their deeds are beautiful. V'zachu v'olu, they were zeicher, they came up on Aliyah, v'ubonu Beit HaMikdash, and they built the Beit HaMikdash. That's fascinating. Shnotein ke'udim u'maseen ke'udim, who are those whose names are ugly and their deeds are ugly? Elu ha-meraglim. Meraglim. We're not going to go into it now because there's another medrash over here that gives us the whole story of the names of each one of the Meraglim, how their very names already expressed what ugly and terrible people they were. There's a great deal written about whether you can give the children names of animals or birds. Well, you know, I could of course start up and say, what about a name like Beryl? You understand? Is a Beryl a kosher animal? Okay, there's a Rabbi Beryl wine, and you can be sure that it's okay. But they do the Mepharshim bring that there are all sorts of reasons why different animals. We call Zed. Zed is a wolf. You understand? A wolf is not a kosher animal. Not a kosher animal. But it's a Aryeh. Tzvi. A Tzvi is kosher. Aryeh isn't. Dove isn't. And Zed isn't. And then, of course, there's Sipora, there are all sorts of, there are also names, we are permitted, according to the halacha, we're permitted to give names flowers. Of course, the first choice begins with, first choice, remember, is the Tapas and the Sevis. That's number one. Second choice, really, should be someplace the idea of a name that comes from Tanakh. But it has to be a name that comes from Tanakh. Don't call a kid Bakbuk, please. And walk around the sign, Aryeh Pir in Sefer Ezra. The truth is that there's a great deal of wisdom, and there are a great deal of questions that have to be asked about it. What I didn't even do with you is I didn't learn the Gemara on the other side, which is the whole foundation of the significance. Names are significant. They should never be taken for granted. There's a certain segula in names, and they may, under certain circumstances, impact, for example. Oh, is this beautiful? Rav Moshe Feinstein was born on Zion Adar. And that's why his parents gave him the name Moshe. And he once said that carrying that name placed upon him a burden his whole lifetime that he should want to know all of Torah's Moshe. Do you hear what an impact the name had? I read that. I tell you, even as I say it now, I have goose pimples thinking about it. So it's a very serious business. Men giving kibudim et simchas, very, very serious business. And I do feel frustrated, but in Yitz Hashem, out of this frustration will be born another shir in which we will continue to elaborate. We can find sometime toward the end of the races we'll do another one. Meanwhile, I need all these sheets back for the next group, whoever comes. I'm going to say this shir again, that's all.
Yeah, but you know the story.